Hello, and thank you for listening to the Totally Health Podcast. My name is Rosie Piercy. I'm a chiropractor and clinic director, and I find the subject of health fascinating. In this podcast, every fortnight, we'll be discussing health from a different perspective. I hope you enjoy. Hi, my name's Rosie from the Total Health Podcast, and today I'm here with Louise from West Berkshire Foot Clinic. Hi, Louise.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for having me.
Good. You're welcome. So today we are talking about podiatry.
Yes, feet.
Feet. Now, I like feet. I do feet. I look at feet in a biomechanical way and ignore the toes and the nails and all the bits on them that I don't know what to do with. But Louise is the lady for dealing with all the bits I don't look at.
The weird one that likes those weird things on feet, yes.
So before we get into the feet itself, tell me a bit about yourself.
So obviously I'm Louise. So I've been a podiatrist now for about 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
I worked in the NHS before working here. Mm-hmm. My specialist thing I love is diabetes. I love diabetic feet.
Okay.
So I did a lot of experience with that in the NHS. Mm-hmm. But when I started my family, I realised it doesn't really work with doing an NHS job. I was commuting quite far.
Yeah.
So I set up a practice in Reading. Did that for a few years. Then I've worked for somebody else for a while. And now I thought it's time to be setting up a bit nearer to home.
Yeah.
So I have set up West Berkshire Foot Clinic last year.
Yeah. So that's great. So Louise is at Total Health with me, which is lovely. And we work down the corridor from each other,
yeah,
which is really nice.
It's good.
And it's quite handy because if I have a patient who has slightly odd feet, I can go, hold on one moment.
Let's go find Louise.
So why did you want to do podiatry? Why did you want to touch people's gross feet?
Do you know, if I got a pound for every time I got asked this question. It wasn't something that I was born with that I wanted to do feet, weirdly enough.
No,
there are probably some podiatrists out there that did want to do that, but that wasn't me. I actually always wanted to be a physio.
Mm-hmm.
I had physio as a child. My mum was a nurse. Mm-hmm. My nan was a physio. I knew I wanted to do something in healthcare, make people better. And it was just a chance encounter, basically, that someone offered me a course, a degree in podiatry. Mm-hmm. And I'd actually never heard of it, along with most people, but I think unless you've had any interest in it, like, you just don't know about it. And I went along and I realised, actually, that's what I wanted to do. It was very wide. I could do lots of different things. So from, you know, my wound care with my diabetes to, you know, the verrucas on a child, it's so wide. I could come in contact with so many different people. And actually, a lot of it, you do make people better. And that's what I wanted. I want people to come in the door, walk out feeling better. And
because people's feet really make them miserable. They're hurting.
Yeah, if you're walking every step and it hurts.
Itchy or whatever.
Yeah,
it's not nice.
It really is. So it can be transforming for people.
It can be, completely. And I think because people don't like to talk about their feet.
It's a bit taboo.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? So what's the difference between a podiatrist and a chiropodist?
So really, there isn't much difference.
It's kind of like the difference between a chiropractor and osteopath.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be called chiropody, and that's what everybody seems to still know it as.
Yeah.
And it was only about 1993, so not an awful long time ago, they decided to make the term more universal, so a bit like if you went to France on holiday, you could still see someone with the same qualification.
Okay.
So they tied the word podiatry, which was more European word, and brought it over here. So you'll find on my website and stuff, I use podiatry more because that's what we're trying to move towards as a profession.
Okay.
But what happened at that time was if you wanted to use that title, you had to have set qualifications, and if you didn't, then you couldn't use that title.
Okay.
So there are people out there that are foot health practitioners that haven't got a degree qualification in podiatry that can do basic chiropody stuff.
Okay.
But majority of people nowadays are podiatrists. They've gone to university and done a degree
in it. So it's so it's it's quite a high qualification then.
Yeah, and we do a lot of medical stuff. So we do pharmacology. We know quite a lot about medication.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't always know when they say I take that red pill what that is, but most of the time we know quite a bit about the pharmacology and the mechanics of how the body works.
Because I guess if I kind of think about podiatry, I tend to think more elderly people.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
We do see quite a lot of older people.
And they often have quite a lot of more than one things going on.
Absolutely. They have quite a lot of comorbidities as well. Yeah. So they've got a lot of heart problems and heart attack, strokes, diabetes, all those kind of things. So we do, you know, from your basic stuff of needing your nails cut because I can't reach my feet,
yeah.
and actually I've got nothing wrong with me, to all the way through, really. So we'd see children, for verrucas usually, ingrown toenails, that kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's such a broad spectrum of people.
Which makes it interesting, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. You never know, 2 days are never the same.
Which I always find makes it fun, you don't always do the same thing. And in my practice, I like the fact that I see lots of different things, lots of different people.
Yeah.
So what's the, is the most common thing you treat? Is there one thing like that you see all the time?
Verrucas probably at the moment, being in private practice, that's the biggest thing that I see.
So tell me about verrucas, because everyone just says put some masking tape on it and it comes off. Is that right?
No, it doesn't work. It's been proven. Research has done lots of research into it and it's been proven that
doesn't
work.
So why do people think it works?
I still think there's quite a lot of GPs that say that it works. It doesn't. The research is there that shows it doesn't. But then again, there's other treatments that I think it's still sort of people are stuck in the old days about these old wives' tales, a bit like cutting a V in your nail or stop an ingrown toenail. That doesn't
work. I've not heard that one.
Oh, have you not heard that one? That one's quite a good one.
Because you've got a super whizzy thing for verrucas, haven't you?
Yeah, I have got a special machine.
So Louise is like what I would call a super cool podiatrist, because when we first met, she came in and she was like talking about all these super cool stuff that she had, because I was not educated on podiatry at all, and I thought literally it was cutting nails and filing bits and stuff that I don't want to do. And someone Louise has come in with all this nail surgery and super whizzy.
Yeah, my Swift machine.
Swift machine, that's what it's called. Yeah, not so super whizzy verruca machine.
Or zapping machine, as I sometimes call it, yeah.
So what does your zapping machine do?
So my Swift machine's the latest technology for treatment of verrucas.
Okay.
So whereas before we've had a lot of topical agents that people couldn't have used, so like, over-the-counter stuff that we can prescribe as podiatrists, and they have to be applied every week, and you have to come back every week. It gets quite costly, time, you know, sometimes can take 16 to 18 appointments. Less than 50% most of the time.
Okay, so that's not a brilliant hit rate.
It's not a brilliant hit rate.
But that's best that you had at the time.
At the time. So we've now got Swift Machine, which is a microwave treatment.
Okay, so literally a microwave.
It's literally like your microwave in your kitchen, except it's delivered through a little probe.
And it's smaller, because I've seen it.
It is smaller. It's lighter, thank goodness, because I have to cart it around from home into clinic. And it basically, it heats up the water molecules within the cells, creating a reaction, basically. So rather than trying to damage the skin, we're not trying to do that at all. We don't damage the skin, so there's no bandages needed or anything like that. It doesn't hurt afterwards, so you can get back to normal activities, unlike a lot of those topical treatments.
Because verrucas are quite far in, aren't they?
Depends on the type. There's about 200 different subtypes of verrucas.
Really?
Yeah. Gosh. Verrucas and warts. But we mainly see like three on the feet. But yeah, it depends on its presentation, how long it's been there, where it is.
Okay.
But yeah, they can be quite deep and impact quite a few layers of the skin, really.
And is that when the creams and stuff wouldn't work because it's so
deep? I mean, they don't work very well anyway because of where they are. So leaving the bandages on and them not spreading and targeting the right area is quite difficult to do, which is where the Swift comes into its own, because it's completely targeted to where you put it on.
So is that just like one treatment?
So we tend to do three treatments. The research suggests that 74% will go in three treatments.
So that's much better. That's like 25% more than the...
And it's the best you're going to get.
And you haven't got to keep putting it on.
No, you do, and it lasts seconds. So I do a treatment, and it literally, depending on how many verrucas you've got, will last seconds. Mm. You usually repeat it every month for the 3 months, and then you'll definitely see an improvement within about 3 months.
Yeah.
Sometimes they won't be completely gone at the end of those 3 months, and they need a little bit of time afterwards, but you will notice that there's no pain, they'll be much thinner, there's no discomfort from them.
But they can be quite sore walking on
them. They can be, depending on where they are and what
activities. Do they often come where people walk or where they weight bear, or does it not really affect that?
The ones I see tend to be on the bottom of the feet, and that's usually because although the virus is everywhere, you need a break in the skin to allow that virus in.
And that's what it is.
And it's, you're walking on, so swimming pools get a bad rep. It's not necessarily swimming pools where you catch it, but the non-slip tiles at a swimming pool will cause minor abrasions to the skin, which allows the virus in.
And also you've got water and heat and all those things.
Yeah, makes your skin soggy, you know, when you go wrinkly in the bath and stuff, that happens in swimming.
Viruses like that kind of moist, wet.
Yes.
So that's really cool thing, and it's a really cool thing to have, because there's not many people for podiatrists doing that in this area.
I think there's only one in this area that does it. So I've had been lucky enough to have used the machine since it came out at the previous clinic I was working at, so I've got quite a wealth of research and audit results, and you've seen
people come back and go, it's amazing.
Absolutely, I've got some fabulous feedback from people that, you know, it's transformed their life. I mean, I had one girl, teenage, well, she wasn't even quite a teenager, I think she was about 11, and it was affecting her doing sport. We did one treatment. With one treatment, the whole varicose had gone.
Wow.
That's and now cool. she's, like, completely back to normal.
Excellent. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So the other thing that people have a lot is athlete's foot.
Oh, yes.
Now, a previous podiatrist I worked at told me, because I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Because most people think athlete's foot is just between the toes, isn't it?
No.
But it goes all the way around the back.
All your foot.
And often that dry skin that people come in with isn't dry skin, it's athlete's foot.
Definitely.
That was like, wow. Because the amount of people... Because I see, obviously, a lot of feet in my work, and I'm... And everyone goes, oh, ignore my dry skin on my feet. And now I'm going, I don't think it is dry skin. I think possibly it's athlete's foot. Obviously, I don't know because it's not my thing to...
Yeah.
But it's... Yeah, that, I didn't know that.
A lot of the heel callus and hard skin is often athlete's foot.
Yeah.
Usually when you get it in between the toes, it's that you've had it so long, it's now quite an acute infection.
So it doesn't start there then?
No, it starts just like a little crease maybe around your heel. Or...
So it tends to start in the heel then?
Yeah, yeah. And so
I don't reckon most people know that.
No, most people would think, oh, it's not in between my toes, it's absolutely fine. The other thing that people do is if they think they've got it, they just treat where they think they've got it. They don't treat the whole foot. Whereas actually, you've probably got it elsewhere. And if you don't treat it, it's just going to spread, isn't it?
So is it, what is the best thing for athlete's foot then?
So I recommend prescribing terbinafine. That's what I prescribe my patients. Mm. So it's the active ingredient that's in a lot of these over-the-counter medications, but obviously much, much cheaper because it's not got the brand name on it.
Yeah.
So a good tube of that for 2 weeks, all over your feet, up to your ankle bones, and then having a break and then repeating it.
Okay.
There's also another treatment called Lamisil once that I recommend, which is much quicker. You use it once and then that's the treatment done.
Okay.
Again, you repeat it. But the key for me and my patients is that is stopping that cycle. So a lot of people will treat it and then it will, they'll say, oh, but it came back again. The problem is that cycle. So in the nice, I hate this, but there's dead skin cells in your shoes. And the fungus will survive on them.
I'm telling your face now, listeners. It's just so gross.
It's disgusting. But that so often the cycle will be there.
So you
need to, you need to treat your socks. So your socks need to be washed on a really hot wash because actually most people stick them now on a 30 or a 40 degrees and that just sends them to sleep. It doesn't kill them off.
What do they need to be at?
60.
60. So in your towel wash.
And, towels and bedding wash. And then you need to be spraying and treating your shoes because especially if you're sporty and you're like putting your running trainers on every day, you need to have treat something within the shoes to stop it from coming back. So there's a really good spray, a Dactarin spray, which I recommend to my patients.
Is that the one that sprays out the front and the back at the same time?
It doesn't, it just sprays down. But
I saw an advert.
Oh, right.
I don't even know what it was for. I was like, well,
that's interesting.
Or maybe it didn't and I just made it up. I don't know. I'm just grossed out by my shoes.
There are some like weird contraptions on the internet you can get, which are like laser beams to kill off. So you put it inside your shoes overnight and it's a special light that kills
stuff off. I'm now looking at my feet. I mean, I don't have athlete's foot as far as I'm aware.
It's really common though. So,
but I'm just, should we all be like disinfecting our shoes on a regular?
It's a good habit to
get
into.
Do you do yours?
Do I ever do anything like that? No, I do, like, if I ever have it. I mean, I had it when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
That's when I got it, which is really common, actually.
Is that because your immune system's a bit low? Yeah.
Yeah, and your feet, you heat up, you raise up in temperature when you're pregnant.
And you can't get your feet because there's, like, some massive bump in the way.
And usually people just go, oh, just slip on a pair of shoes without socks because I can't reach to get the socks on. And actually your feet will sweat more without cotton socks. Cotton socks help our feet to breathe. So yeah.
So really, we should all be like disinfecting our shoes, like what, once a month or something like that.
Yeah,
or?
Just little now and again sort of thing is a really good idea.
Is there a way of stopping your feet from sweating in the summer? Just completely. I just suddenly thought.
Yeah. We all get sweaty feet.
Because people's feet tend to smell more in the summer, don't they?
They do, and you know you've got more sweat glands on the bottom of your feet than anywhere else. Like
really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, really?
This is fascinating.
Yeah, we should have had this chat before.
Sure.
So no, it is really common,
but
unfortunately as we get older we lose that sort of sweat response.
So
we're binging. Sweat glands are really important because actually that's your natural moisturizers for your skin. So it regulates your sort of skin condition really. I'm deviating, I know. I will come back to your answer.
That's fine.
But yeah, so as you get older your sweat glands reduce, so you need to replenish that moisture by putting some cream on or something like that.
Just moisturising.
Just moisturising.
And at what age does this start happening?
I would suggest it at any age. I think it's an important thing to do and add to the regime. Most people say, oh yeah, I use body cream. Where do you stop? At my ankles.
That's true, actually. Apart from your dry skin on your heels, which everyone
knows. You might do that little bit, yeah.
But then you can't put your feet into bed unless you put your socks on.
Oh, no, you see some of my magic cream that I've got in my room.
You've got magic cream?
Magic cream. I've got two different creams that dry almost instantly, so you can put shoes on straight away, and they're amazing for your feet.
Can you also use them on the dry skin on your elbows?
Oh, do you do that?
I don't know. Do you not?
I've not heard that one.
I have this thing.
Elbows aren't my thing.
I don't know if it's a chiropractic thing, but me and another chiropractor used to work with had a running joke that we would moisturise our hands and we would both moisturise our elbows.
I have to think about that one next time.
I'm now feeling self-conscious about my elbows.
And do you do your knees as well?
No.
Yeah, so going back to sweaty feet. There isn't, you know, most people do get sweaty feet. The key is not to wear shoes without socks.
What about sandals in the summer?
Sandals, I mean, I wear sandals.
Yeah.
But depending on the lining, more plasticky linings will make your feet sweat more. So it's trying to find something that's the right inner material, or maybe put in an insole that is a bit more absorption of the moisture. And if you do wear socks and your feet sweat, change them through the day, because there's nothing worse than wet, damp socks.
So some people just have sweatier, smellier feet than others.
Yep.
And it's not just one of a hygiene thing necessarily. Nothing it's just how the body is.
Just how the body is. I mean, there are odour creams, odour-reducing creams that you can put on. There's sprays that you can get. But yeah, it's nothing to do with hygiene. You just perhaps need to be a little bit more cautious of the smell, to be more hygienic, you know, making sure you're washing and drying and changing your socks, that kind of thing.
Because I often tell my patients in a slightly different way, who got foot pain, who stand all day, to change their shoes halfway through the day, so they get a different feedback for their feet. So it's kind of a similar thing, isn't it? If you have really pommy feet, maybe just change your shoes and your socks.
Yeah, and treat them with this preventative athlete foot treatment that we were talking about.
So that it all stops the yuck.
Absolutely.
Because does athlete's foot make your feet more smell, or does it have nothing to do with it?
Absolutely nothing to do with it. You're more prone to it when you've got sweaty feet.
Because there's more...
Because the fungus likes dark, warmth and moisture, and you're providing all three.
Which is what the socks
are. But no, you don't necessarily get athletes... you don't have a smell with athletes.
There's no association. Okay, and so the other thing that you do is nail surgery.
I do, yeah.
So I didn't realise you did like surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is that... I know I have in my image, like, operating theatre, a mask.
Yeah, no.
Some assistant that you pull out of the cupboard somewhere. So what kind of surgery do you do?
So it's very minor surgery. Okay. I liken it to just having a tooth taken out, basically. So it's just...
Have you had a tooth taken out?
Yes,
that's not minor.
It is minor. You know, those kind of minor dental surgery.
Okay, it's not like a...
I mean, it's not to be laughed about. Because
I know what you mean.
It is an anaesthetic, so you can't drive straight afterwards, and you do need to rest for the rest of the day. But it cures your problem of
being... So your patients are conscious when they're...
Completely awake. I just put a little bit of anaesthetic in your toe, which is a form of torture to remove a bit of toenail without an anaesthetic. So it's kind of the kindest thing to do.
Yeah.
And that's the worst bit, to be honest. It's like any injection.
It's like when you go to the dentist, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the worst bit.
I had a tooth pulled out, and I was not brave, listeners. I was not brave at all. And the injection was horrible, and then they did the tooth in like 10 seconds. I was like, oh, was that it?
Yeah.
It was, the injection was worse. Is that the same for the toe?
It's the same for the
toe. It's not a nice area.
It's not a nice area. There's not a lot of flesh. And I always say it's the worst bit, but it's over and done with so quickly, and I make it as quick as I possibly can. Yeah. And once that injection's out, then that's it. You don't feel anything else. And it's actually not the needle that you're feeling. Mm. And it's the same with your mouth.
Yeah.
What you're feeling is the force of liquid into the area.
And that's what hurts.
It's this pressure buildup of the fluid. So once that injection's out, it's totally numb. And then you don't feel anything.
And then are you taking people's toenails off?
So sometimes I'll take the whole toenail off. Sometimes I will just cut a little slither from the sides. It really depends on how the patient's presenting, what their patient is presenting with. So most, 99% of the time, it's just the sides of the nail. We don't need to remove the whole nail.
And is it better not to remove the whole nail?
Yeah, I mean, you'll be left with a large wound, larger wound that will take slightly longer to heal.
The more risk of infection, the bigger the wound is. Yeah.
And also, you kind of... most people want to have something to paint. I mean, some people will say to me,
do nails come back?
No, so we kill it off to stop it growing back. Because if you remove that section of nail, say it's in growing, it's curved, and we remove that section, it will just do the same thing again. So we kill off the cells.
So does it grow in a funny way because it's damaged?
Yeah, so it can be genetic. So quite a lot of people say, oh yeah, so-and-so and so-and-so, my family have had this done. A lot of the time it's trauma, so an injury.
Dropping something on it.
Yeah, the way it's been cut. Sometimes removing the whole toenail is because the whole nail's been damaged.
Mm.
It's thickened and lifting up. It's actually more problematic as it is than having no nail. So we all opted to have the whole nail.
I didn't realise that it didn't grow back.
Yeah, so no, well, you can do it, yeah. But it doesn't. But it's pointless. It's not going to solve the problem. It will solve the problem for a few months, and then when the nail grows back, it'll do the same thing again. So this is a permanent solution, and it's almost 100% guaranteed to work. We offer 100% guarantee. If it doesn't work, we'll do it again free of charge.
Okay, well, that's cool. And then can you have pretend nails if you have to have the whole nail off?
You can. So we build up false nails.
Is that the thing you've started doing?
Yeah, so I do this thing called LCN Wild Pedique.
Okay.
It's a type of gel nail.
Okay.
It best is adhered to on actual nail. Yeah. So if you've only got a tiny bit of nail left,
yeah,
we can build you up a new nail and it'll stay on longer. But you can get this special glue that sticks on. Okay. I'm missing a nail on my little finger.
Are you?
Yeah, I had an operation years ago. And I've done it. I've built myself up a nail.
I'm looking at the nail now.
I built up a nail and then stuck it on with a special sort of nail technician glue.
Yeah.
And it stays on, not as long, but it stays on.
So how long does that last for, then, if you have a nail built up?
Well, on my finger it didn't last as well, because obviously you're using hands more, but toes can... If you have it built up and stuck onto a toe... actual toenail, it can last months. We suggest not to leave it as long as that, because you can get other problems, but it can last that long. Obviously on my finger it wasn't as much.
So I guess it's something you can have done, almost like how people go have a manicure or something.
Have it built up and
paint it. I guess feet get kind of slightly left out, don't they? Because everyone only thinks of them when the summer comes out, and then you're like, oh, I need to paint my nails.
Absolutely, and people just ignore them in the winter months. And actually a lot of these problems need to be tackled over the winter. That's the best time to deal with them, because if you aren't on exposed, you know, you're not having sandals and things like that. And then they're ready for the summer rather than...
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the perfect time.
Absolutely. Now get your feet ready.
Now that we're in mid-February and the sun is starting to come out.
It actually feels like spring out there today.
It will make the spring go away. So it's good to get your feet done when you don't want to be on, so not the week before your wedding or your big holiday.
Well, it depends. Like some things, obviously, it's a quick fix. We can do it there and then at that appointment and make them look beautiful. But if it's a problem such as an ingrown toenail or a verruca or athlete's foot, it's not an overnight fix. You need to invest in some time to get things fixed. But it's worth it when you do, because then it is fixed.
It's fixed, and we like that. Random question. Wearing nail polish, does that affect your nails?
So it can.
Because gel nails are very
popular, yeah. So a lot of the gel nails don't allow oxygen to the nail.
Okay.
And the nails need oxygen to grow properly. So what you'll find, and the same thing kind of happens, particularly with dark nail polish. I'm on for dark nail polish on my toes. I don't know why, I just prefer dark nail polish.
I prefer red.
Oh, I like it. So I'm a different colour. I'm not one that matches my fingers to my toes very often.
I would like to be that kind of person, but I've just accepted that...
That's not you.
It's not me. It's unlikely now at this point that I will become that organised.
Well, the problem is that with a darker nail varnish, the light doesn't get to your nails.
Okay.
So, and it needs that to make the vitamins that help your nail to grow. So you'll probably find if you remove nail varnish, they kind of look a bit white and sort of dry. And then you'll have like a nice healthy bit of nail at the bottom where that bit hasn't had so much nail varnish exposure. The best thing to do is to get some hydration treatment on it. There's a really good stuff we use called Dr. Remedy, which is a natural plant-based treatment. But they do nail varnishes as well.
Oh, I've seen them in your room.
There's no chemicals on them. They're really lovely colours. And they do a really good base coat. So it's important to have a base coat when you wear nail varnish and then put your nail varnish on.
Okay.
That will protect the nail a little bit, particularly from the darker colours.
Okay.
But this hydration treatment actually works as a base coat as well. So I tend to use it as both.
Two in one.
So when I'm not wearing nail varnish, wear it as a treatment, and then you can use it as a base coat as well.
So should you have time where you don't have any nail polish on any of your nails?
Ideally the winter. I mean, obviously, we might have a little party over Christmas, New Year that you want to wear it. But this is an ideal opportunity to restore back to normal over winter.
I must admit, my nails on my toes have no polish on them at the moment.
No. And then...
However, my nails on my fingers do. Is it safe for fingernails?
The nails are the same at the end of the day. The only thing is that you'll probably get a bit more daylight to the fingernails, and they grow probably a bit faster than your toenails, and they chip more, so you're replacing the nail varnish more frequently than you do.
So does it matter how long you have time without nail varnish? If you're taking your nail varnish off and then putting it on the next day and your nails are having like a day's break?
It's more about how long the nail varnish is on for.
Okay.
So if you're one like me that puts nail varnish on at the beginning of the summer and then maybe just tops up so you can see...
Oh, I would never.
It's all coming out now.
Ever do that. That would be dreadful. Every time, yeah.
Every time. And then maybe get round to the end of winter and the nail varnish hasn't been replaced and it's just growing out. Never do that.
Oh my gosh, this is me.
It's me as well.
Toes, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, the ideal opto thing is to wear it for a few weeks, remove it, and then have a bit of a break, and then in an ideal world.
In an ideal world. Okay, good. Sorry, it's just
all coming out now, isn't it?
I feel like I need to take my toes to the spa or something to make
take
up
a holiday and look after them
to make up for everything. Okay, so when you're doing your nail surgery, was that nerve wracking the first time you did it?
I remember the first time I did an anaesthetic. Yeah, totally. But I love it. It's my favourite part of my job.
Yeah,
it's such a quick. I think the thing is, people are really worried about it. And I like to think I'm quite a warm and friendly person that puts their mind to rest with it. But they walk out of that room and they're just totally, oh my God, that was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it solves their problem. 100% solves their problem. They don't need to come back to see me. Obviously, we look after the wound, but once that's healed,
it's fine.
No more problems. And the problem that they were suffering from before was usually quite a big problem, you know, affecting footwear, sports, school. I mean, I had one poor girl the other week on crutches because she had an ingrown toenail.
See, I was nothingy thing.
Oh no, it can be really bad, really bad. I mean, horrendous infections that people have had.
Gosh, I didn't know.
Yeah, it can really impact people's life. So yeah, it's one of my favourite things because it fixes people, and that's what I like to do.
So diabetes is a massive thing in feet, isn't it? And lower limb, because obviously if you're diabetic and it's not well looked after, you can lose your feet, can't you?
You basically lose the sensation to your feet.
And then you start having all sorts of problems.
And then you can have lots of problems, yeah.
And it's a big thing in the national health, isn't it? Diabetes costs a fortune. And that. So, I mean, what's the sort of thing that, if say I had diabetes, what would I look out for on my feet as a sign that I needed to have it looked at?
Okay, so I recommend anybody with diabetes, whether you're type 1 or type 2, you should see a medical professional to get your feet checked on an annual basis.
Okay, so once
a
year.
That can be your podiatrist, and that can be a diabetic nurse. So a lot of people go to see their diabetic nurse on an annual basis, and they should check your feet. However, word of warning, they do have to take your shoes and socks off to check your feet. I have heard stories of people saying, if they checked your feet, oh yes, did you have your shoes taken off? No. How can you check feet without shoes taken off? So that's important to check. And what they should be checking is the nerve supply and the blood supply to the feet. What you're checking for as well is to know what's normal for your feet. Yeah. So it's a good thing to get into is to looking at in the mirror of your feet, if you can't bend to get your sole of your feet up. Looking for what's normal for your feet. So if you've got a mole underneath your big toe, that's normal for you. It's nothing to worry about. But if you didn't, and then you developed a brown lump under there, that's something to worry about.
Or if you had something that started growing or getting bigger.
Getting bigger. A blister. The thing to remember is that one day, you potentially might not feel your feet. You don't get a warning sign for it. Yeah. Not a big hazard sign above your head saying you're not going to be able to feel your feet today. So what will happen is eventually you might wear a pair of shoes, brand new pair of shoes, for example, wear them out for a walk, going around town, going shopping. Whereas you and I would feel that blister maybe forming. If they were rubbing, you might not feel that. So if you came home, you could see that there was a blister and you could treat it. The problem happens when people don't look after their feet. They don't realise that they've got these problems. That blister becomes infected. That infection gets deeper into the bone. And
because if you're diabetic, infections tend to take quicker.
So you've got to, it's about prevention. And that's all I say to my patients. Prevention is better than cure. I'd much rather see people about something that's really small that we can fix than waiting until there's a full-blown hole in your foot.
Yeah, and then it's more troublesome to fix. So it's just basically looking at your feet and saying, does this foot look like my foot should do?
Yeah, so if you live with somebody, get them to check your feet. This is what my foot looks like now while I'm healthy. Yeah. And then it's regularly checking. So
do you find it's often someone's partner who's gone, your foot's smelly,
and drags
or
them to the
looks funny or has that big spot on it. Yeah. So I know that I've seen patients, and this is so handy having Louise down the corridor, and I've looked at their foot and gone, that mark doesn't look right. You know, I'm not a podiatrist, but I'm enough of a health professional to know that does not look right. Yeah. And now, obviously, you can just
and it's telling them, it's directing them where to go.
Exactly.
Because not everybody knows about
them. Go and see your diabetic nurse, go and see a podiatrist, go and see someone who can say this is safe or not.
Yeah.
Because often diabetic people have to have their toes cut.
So
is that because there's a risk they'll cut themselves, or is it?
I really think it just depends on the person. Okay. So there are some people who are diabetic, yeah, that are absolutely perfectly capable of cutting their toenails. They've, yeah, got normal nails, they can reach their toes, they can see, because obviously diabetes can affect your vision as, yeah, well. They're absolutely fine to cut.
So if you're young, so not necessarily young, but if you're fit and healthy
and it's not got the sort of other complications, oh, yeah, of diabetes, then yeah, that's fine. But if you can't reach your toes, or you can't see your toes, or your nails are really particularly quite thick, so whatever tool you're using at home doesn't cut, yeah, them very well, or you risk perhaps cutting yourself and causing more injuries, then it's best to get someone else to help with that.
Yeah.
And obviously a podiatrist is perfectly placed to do that.
And that's the sort of thing that you do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just helping people with cutting toenails. And the other thing I try and do is give people advice on how they can look after them at home in between. So things like filing the nails. So, mm, you don't have to use a pair of scissors or clippers to cut your toenails. You could regularly file once I've cut them.
And is that safer? Shorter.
Yeah, because a file can't do any damage to the skin.
Unless you really try.
Yeah, yeah, you could.
I mean, you'd have to like really,
you'd have to really
make a conscious
mad
decision, yeah, that you're going to try and hurt your foot.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a foot file. And we've got some really good metal foot one files, mm, that we recommend to people that last ages, much more than sort of an emery board that you would have,
yeah,
on your finger.
Don't last,
they don't last long.
Even on my nails, they're like...
No, I go through them right, there's no tomorrow. But no, a nice metal foot file is really good.
Much better. Good. Is there anything else I haven't mentioned? Trying to
think. Obviously, I could do corns and calluses and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That.
Oh. What is a corn?
Corn is a cone shape of hard skin, and it's just there because of pressure. So you usually get those more over
so people
joints,
walking,
yeah, yeah, or on toes if they're rubbing on the tops of shoes.
And is it just where they put bodies put down more skin then to kind of?
So your body's way of protecting itself, yeah.
And what do you do with those?
So we literally scoop them out. It sounds disgusting, but we literally remove them.
You
and
see
they
the
pop
look
out.
I'm giving Louise. Scoop them out. With
this
what?
Look has been coming out quite a lot today.
Just
we
out.
Use a little blade, but it's, yeah, dead skin, so you can't feel it.
Okay.
And they literally just scoop out and pop out, and then that's instant comfort because they've been removed.
And calluses.
So calluses, we debride the hard skin off, but we give with both of those, we can give people advice on how to prevent them from coming, yeah, back. That's my big thing. I'd rather.
Because I guess if it's just
the problem, then keep having you back to have these. I mean, obviously, I don't mind seeing people, but I'd rather that you
and what is it that makes
cause gone.
How would you stop that from coming back?
Depends on where it is. So if it's on the bottom of the foot, we'd look at insoles, but, yeah, like what you do.
Yeah.
If it was a toe, we'd maybe look at footwear, or there are like little offloading devices that we can use to prevent it.
Okay.
But it's working out what the cause is in the first place.
And trying to stop it.
And trying to stop it.
And do you have a thought on footwear, of what footwear people should wear?
I'm not one that says you can't wear this, you can't wear that, and you've got to wear those granny shoes in the corner.
Mm.
I think it's really wearing the right shoe for the activity that you're doing,
yeah, no, that's true,
is key.
Yeah.
And if you're in your shoes a long time, or you're doing quite a bit of walking, so you're walking to the station, mm, or something like that, it's really good to be wearing a shoe that's got a fastening. These,
yeah,
slip-on shoes are great for like parties,
yeah,
but they're not ideal for walking in, and a lot of problems. Yeah. I mean, you probably see it as well.
Ballet pumps. They are like...
If we could burn the ballet pumps, that would be brilliant.
Because they have just nothing.
There's nothing
there's
at the
no
front.
Cushioning.
There's no cushioning. There's no shock absorption on the sole.
Oh.
They usually make of a material that stretches really quickly, so they look awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got such a small bit at the front that they don't hold your foot in place. So your toes
just
have to curl.
There's
and,
just
oh,
nothing good about a ballet pump.
They don't even, I don't think, look that attractive.
I don't think they
look... Especially when they've been worn for a few weeks, they go a bit, you know, like pancake.
It upsets me.
Oh, we could have a long chat about ballet pumps.
Yeah, I had a patient once who'd gone to New York and walked around.
No,
New
not
York
in ballet pumps.
For a day and a half. She was so
problems
sore.
I think, yeah, she was in agony.
So sore in her feet. Yeah. Yeah, they're just really bad shoes. Really bad,
they're
bad shoes.
And there are other attractive shoes.
I don't think they're that pretty either. I think,
no,
you
I think
know,
there's far more.
And that's ankle boot, even.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the weather, doesn't it? But, you know, even if that ballet pump was a bit deeper, like,
yeah,
I'm going to say Clarks, because,
yeah,
that's like a big brand that everybody knows, yeah, but those kind of shoe, more expensive shoe shops.
They just need to be nice. Yeah.
Will be a bit deeper. They'll probably be made of a better leather. Because a lot of those ballet shoes aren't leather. No. So they don't breathe. They're not made
of
sweat.
Well, they're made of plastic, aren't they?
Yeah, they usually are plastic. And then like a nice little bit of a bar over the top. That'd be, that'd
like
be
a Mary Jane. A nice Mary Jane shoe.
Yeah. And actually, you've got a nice pair of brown Mary Janes I really like.
I got my brogues.
My brogues are really nice and shiny.
Listeners, you can't see my shoes. They are from Clark's, and this is the second pair of the same type of shoes I've brought. They're black patent brogues, lace up, very shiny, and they've got a tiny heel because I'm really, really short. And I can fit my orthotics in them.
And that's the key.
And so they just make me really happy.
But you see, you're comfortable in those, you're up and down on your feet all the time. It's finding the right shoe for the activity. Exactly. You wouldn't wear a 6-inch heel to do your job, would you?
No,
you
know. I've only once, I had to treat, I think it was a friend, I treated a friend once where I was wearing my knee-high boots that got like a 2-inch heel, and I just felt ridiculous, completely ridiculous. I was just like, I'm never wearing these again.
Well, I can't walk in heels because I don't wear them. I live in trainers, Uggs or Birkenstocks. That's literally what I live in all year round.
Well, I tend to only wear, my knee-highs have got like a 2-inch heel, which I can just about cope with, but anything higher... I'm literally like, you know, when you go out your heels and you go out for a party.
Well, it's a Christmas party.
Yeah.
How quickly were we? It was like, who's going to take their shoes off first?
I think it was me. I came.
We'll all follow.
After half an hour, we were walking around in our tights.
Pretty dressing as in tights with no shoes on.
Spot the therapist. But like, we go out for dinner. I'm literally like, okay, I walk from the car to the restaurant. I'm taking my shoes off underneath the table.
Yeah.
They look pretty.
Yeah.
But I can't wear them.
No, that's me.
Yeah, so don't wear ballet pumps.
No,
ever.
Please don't wear ballet
ever,
pumps.
Ever. Chilblains.
Yeah.
Is there anything you do for chilblains?
The chilblains are there because there's poor circulation to the area. So at this time of year, well,
because my eldest went out in the snow.
And got chilblains.
Yeah, he's got a chilblain on his toe that looks like it's growing another toe.
So it's probably now healing because it's warmer.
Yeah.
What was he wearing on his feet at the time? Was he wearing thick socks?
I think he was wearing trainers and socks or something.
So layering the thick socks up to keep it
heating.
Warm. And then the problem is when you come back into the warm, it's doing it gradually rather than taking everything off and sitting in front of a fire and then suddenly getting very, very hot. That's where the problem is.
There's not much you can do about it, is
there? There isn't, but it's making sure that they don't open up into a wound.
So just keeping an eye on it.
Keeping an eye on them, yeah. And then going on holiday. That's my prescription to everybody that comes with the children. You need to go and live abroad.
Where it's warmer.
That's my prescription to you.
Although last summer we wouldn't have needed that because it was lovely and hot there. Excellent. Right. Now, three questions I ask everyone.
Yeah.
So what's the best bit of health advice you've been given?
I really struggled with thinking about this one when you told me about this. I'm going to lower the tone slightly a little bit. But I'm going to say get your flu jab. This sounds really... silly.
I got my flu jab.
Yay! I have recently, in the podiatry world, there's a company that I use, and the guy that runs it, his wife, has just passed away. She was 35 years old.
Gosh.
Fit and healthy from flu, and leaves two small children behind. And she got the flu on the first and had died within a week. And she still didn't have any medical illnesses. It's just that it took hold and her body shut down.
Gosh.
So the only flu vaccine, that's my only advice, is get the flu vaccine. Even if you don't think you're going to need it, get it. Because you don't know when it could save a life.
And it's tricky because it's not always effective.
It's not, and it is a difficult one because they often have to base it on the previous year's
Australia's flu, isn't it, usually? And, it changes, but for most people there's no harm.
I mean, I get it because I'm asthmatic, so
I'm
obviously with my job on.
Yeah, and we're mixing with lots
of
people.
We're mixing with people, but, you know, I will always make sure that my children and my husband, who do not... necessarily have to have it, get it, because it's so important.
And at the end of the day, it's not, you know, unless you've been told you shouldn't have a vaccine, it's
there. I don't know why we wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I always do, because, you know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, what's the best bit of advice that you give your patients?
I think it's more the advice that I give literally on a daily basis to literally every patient, whatever you come in with, which is, if you've got hard skin, best way to prevent it is to have the hard skin removed by a podiatrist. And if you file that hard skin when the skin is dry, so before you go in the bath or shower.
Not after.
Before you go in with a metal foot file. File the hard skin down, have your bath, and then put cream on. You will keep that hard skin at bay. you need to file litter and often, so once to twice a week, but cream every day. And the cream needs to be something that says foot on the title or heel.
So normal body lotion won't work then?
Body lotion's not brilliant for the feet because the bottom of your feet, the skin's different to the rest of your body.
Okay.
It's got to be, you're walking on it, it's taking you away, it's got to be tougher. So you need something which has got urea in it, U-R-E-A.
Is that like...
breaks down. Yeah, okay. It's wee. From your wee.
Yeah.
It's from your wee. Not literally, they will have made it. But yes, it's urea from your wee. Yeah. But what it does is it breaks down that hard skin on the bottom of your feet. And if you're filing it, it keeps it at the level that the podiatrist has reduced it to. And then you put your cream on. That's like, I give that advice to everybody.
Excellent. And do you have a guilty pleasure or bad habit you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I do. But do I, should I share? Chocolate's my weakness.
Yeah? What kind?
Any. Just I'll have chocolate. Any. Apart from, I don't do chocolate and nuts. Don't do, they shouldn't be mixed in my mind. Chocolate is for chocolate.
You also don't do tea.
I don't do tea and I don't do coffee, no. But then I'll do hot chocolate because it's chocolate. Yeah.
See, Louise has like broken one of my rules because I find people who don't drink hot drinks slightly odd. But I really like Louise, so you're like, as the exception, it proves
I'm
a rule.
The exception to the rule.
Excellent. So basically, we just need to give our feet a bit more love. Is that what you're saying?
Look after your feet. Because they will look after you if you look after them and keep you moving.
Excellent. And where can we find more about you? What's your website?
So it's westberkshirefootclinic.co.uk.
Excellent.
Quite
and,
simple.
And,
and I'm on Facebook as well.
Facebook. Excellent. Well, Louise, thank you so much for joining us. It's been really interesting. I've learned a lot. I feel I know more about my feet now than I did at the start. Excellent.
Good.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Total Health Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you need any information or links from the show, they'll be in the show notes. And if you have enjoyed it and you're a regular listener, maybe you'd leave us a 5-star review. I'd be really grateful. Or perhaps you'd share it with a friend or subscribe so you can hear our future episodes. Thank you so much. Goodbye.